Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
Oh, so today on If Not For God, we have a powerful topic. It's so powerful that we're calling it what, Mike? The power of prayer.
The power of prayer. And one of the first things that we were talking about with the power of prayer is 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to use the NIV, and it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." What a message for today. And Robbie, we were actually just talking a little bit before, and we were talking about the power of prayer and how God can use the power of prayer to just do amazing things, because I know so many times in my own life, I want to do everything on my own, and I want to fix it myself, but God can do more on accident than I can do on purpose. And you had actually had a story about a gentleman who you work with in the car business.
Yeah, when I think about the power of prayer, the story of Johnny Hendricks is like just beyond my wildest imagination of something that I would get a chance to see God do. But essentially, I had had this dealership for some years, and this salesman worked for me, and I knew him well. I mean, he was my number one salesman, and we were good friends. But he would just not go deeper than a half inch if you began to talk about faith. I didn't know where he stood as far as Jesus was concerned. I'd invited him to I don't know how many Bible studies. He wouldn't come.
Right.
He paid for the lunch at some of those, and he paid for the first Christian Businessmen's Committee meeting that we had in Moxville years ago. However, you couldn't get into that conversation with him. And then one day I got the chance, but I blew it. I mean, I just totally blew it. Like, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he knocked on my door, and, "Robbie, can I talk to you?" And those who know me know that I'm a cancer survivor, and so
sure.
I know now, I think about the look in his eyes that day, that he had some questions that day that he wanted to talk about, but I didn't have time. I was in the middle of building a new building, and I had all sorts of things going on, and I was like, "Johnny, what do you need?" And when he told me he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, I was like, "Oh, man, I'll pray for you." Well, it was just like, I shut him down, and he knew I was shutting him down. And I saw the look on his face that day, and I knew that it was Robbie had totally blown it. There's no doubt about that. And then about a week later, his wife called me. They were in the emergency room. Heck no, they were actually in ICU at Forsyth Hospital, and he'd gone into a coma, and they didn't think he had much time to live. So she asked me to come down there. I came down there, and like, oh my goodness, I felt so guilty. It was unbelievable. I thought, wow. I asked his wife, does Johnny know God? And she said, "I don't know. I asked his best friend," and he didn't know. And so I was just in a place, but kind of ironically, she said, "Well, when it came time, only two people could go in there with him. She picked me because she knew I would pray with her." And I felt, oh, so horrible. So actually, as I got done praying with her, I came back out and I went for a drive and went to a place that I often would pray. And I just said, "God, if there's any way in the world that you would give Johnny more time, I promise that I will either introduce him to you if he doesn't know you, which I just don't know, or help him to get to know you better."
Mm-hmm.
And so I got back, and they literally like, "Well, he's hanging in there." But before a few more hours came, they were talking about pulling the plug because he was essentially gone, except that they were holding him there on life support. And this went on for a couple of days. But there was a sense that I had that God had answered that prayer, that it was going to be somehow okay. And so I just kept encouraging the family, "Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think that God's going to do something here. I think God's going to do something here." Well, on the fourth day, Johnny sits up in the bed like anybody in Davie County, puts on his hat.
Uh-huh.
You can picture the whole scene. And it's like nothing's happened to him. It's not like he just came out of the coma. It's like if you went in and talked to him, which I did immediately, it was like, oh my, you know, like here he is. So now I'm like, okay, God, you clearly pulled off your end of the bargain. You know, what's my end of the bargain? So I had to actually go back to where I prayed before.
Yeah.
And said, God, okay, you clearly, you know, brought him back and you gave us more time. And I want to uphold my end of the bargain, but I just do not know how to share you with Johnny. Can you give me something, some insight? And I felt him clearly tell me, Robbie, Johnny's a car salesman. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of all he had to tell me.
That was it.
Because I knew that for Johnny, like any car salesman, a deal is a deal. I often think my wife feels like she's married to Monty Hall because I'm always, let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal. Yeah.
And so I walked into Johnny's hospital room, and he's sitting there with his hat on. I said, Johnny, I made a deal with God. He was like, well, what kind of deal did you make with God, Robbie? I mean, he'd said this in typical Davie County fashion. I said, well, I told him that if he would give you any more time, that I would either introduce you to him or that I would help you to get to know him better. And he said, well, you better get to it. Sounds like somebody from Davie County to you. So, interestingly, God had also given me a bit of a lesson plan. And he wanted me to take Johnny through the I am statements of the book of John.
Sure.
And so we did the, you know, I am the bread of life, I'm the living water, the woman at the well, and all those stories that are in the Gospel of John that are just absolutely wonderful. Well, after about 2 weeks, and interestingly, this man that would never talk deep was wanting an in-depth discussion of all these Bible stories as we shared them. And I could see that, you know, something way different was happening, but it was way different and happening as results of what God was doing, not what Robbie was doing, believe me.
Sure.
And then one day I went and I shared, you know, when he said, I am the resurrection, when he raised Lazarus. And we shared that story, and I just left like I always did. Well, the next day when I came to see him to share the next story, the whole street's parked with cars, you know, just right down the street. And I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. Uh-oh, he's gone.
Right.
But when I come in, he's very much there, and so is the whole neighborhood and all his family members, including a pastor friend of mine, Jimmy Lancaster. And he says, Johnny, tell Robbie what's happened. And he said, well, Robbie, you know, after you left yesterday, my sister came in here, and she put in this stack of Gaither CDs. And the first one that played was a song 4 days late, but right on time. And I realized that I'd been in a coma for 4 days.
Oh, wow.
And that now he was the resurrection for me.
Right on time.
Right on time. And so Jimmy Lancaster had used to work for me as a salesman, so it was a natural for him to call Jimmy, to pray with Jimmy, to receive Christ. Uh-huh. And so all these people had come in all his family was, it was beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. Johnny only lived actually for 2 weeks after that.
Okay.
But that 2 weeks, man, I had a brother in Christ. He was no longer a half inch deep. He was completely deep and completely loving on his family and his friends, you know, down there in what was going on. It was an answer to prayer like, oh my goodness. I'm so grateful that I went to God with that one.
Absolutely, and that is an amazing story, Robbie. And one of the things that, and while we're talking about our show on prayer, is that God can do things that we could never do. I mean, you know, there was absolutely no way that you, Robbie, could have, you know, gotten that guy. You tried for how long to get him to go? He never did it. But God put him in a position where he absolutely had to do it. One of the stories about prayer that I've thought of, and is a lady named Jungle Jen. She was actually on this radio show, and she goes down to the Amazon River and she talks to these tribes, and she's built churches through our the Lamb's Chapel, through our church out of Burlington and Haw River. But one of the things that she said was, she said, when I first started doing this, I said that I would never ask anybody for money and I would never try to raise money. And so I thought about it to myself and I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. But for years and years and years, God has absolutely just provided for her. And it's something that I keep thinking about, that God can do more on accident than we could ever do on purpose. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named George Muller.
Sure.
But a great man of prayer, actually lived, about 95 years. But there's a story, it says, what a man of prayer, what he can teach us about prayer. George Muller, from 1805 to 1898, is widely considered one of the greatest men of prayer and faith since the days of the New Testament. He lived nearly the entire 19th century, two-thirds of it in Bristol, England. He led four far-reaching influential ministries, but we know him best today for his orphanages. During a time in England when most orphans lived in miserable workhouses or in the streets like Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist, Muller took them in, fed them, clothed them, and educated them. Through his orphanage in Bristol, Muller cared for as many as 2,000 orphans at a time, more than 10,000 in his lifetime. Yet he never made the needs of his ministry known to anyone except for God and prayer. Only through his annual reports did people learn after the fact what the needs had been during the previous year and how God had provided. Muller had over 50,000 specific recorded answers to prayer in his journals, 30,000 of which he said were answered the same day or in the same hour that he prayed. Think of it. That's 500 definite answers to prayer each year, more than one per day, every single day for 60 years. God funneled over $500 million in today's dollars through his hands and answered prayer. And so it's like, it's so tough for us to do this. I mean, we've heard people so many times say, well, there's a difference between faith and foolishness. You ever heard that, Robbie?
Oh, yeah.
And I think what they're really saying is that, yeah, we need to kind of pray to God, but we need to do everything on our own. And while I think it's true that we go to work every day and we, you know, we wash our hands and we try not to get sick and stuff like that, that God is the ultimate provider and he is the one that we need to go to in prayer. And when you told that story, was there anything else that kind of came to your mind as well, Robbie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, clearly, I don't know how many times that God just answers the simplest prayers that, you know, you just came out of left field. Like, it's amazing to me how many times I pray things, and I don't really pray them in faith, yet he answers them, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, you just did that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, that clearly happened. And when we come back, I'll show you one that just happened to me last week. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. We'll be right back with If Not For God.
If you're trying to sell your home and you're sick of your realtor telling you they can't get your price, thank Todd Harrison. Call me. To sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles, call 919-274-5532. Hi, this is Todd Harrison, and this is a great time to find out what your house is worth. Call me at 919-274-5532. Together, we can sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles. The Todd Harrison team is affiliated with Keller Williams Realty.
So welcome back to If Not For God, today's show, the power of prayer. So I promised a little story that happened to me last week. I was just like, I can't, if I didn't believe this was happening, I would, you know. So those who listen to Finishing Well, which happens right about the same time as this show, know that I'm 64 years old. I'm going to be 65 in October, and I finally qualify for Medicare. Now, if you're on Medicare, I mean, oh my goodness, your deductibles are nowhere near what they are right now. I think my deductible with my current health care plan is like $6,000 compared to what I may need.
Yeah.
And so I started to notice these moles. I had one on my back that was growing like crazy, and I had another one on the side of my face. And in fact, it was growing so much that I shaved it and cut it, and I was like, oh my gosh. And there was like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this could be melanoma, it could be this, but I don't want to go to the doctor, pay six, you know, I can wait 8 months until I'm you know, that was my original plan.
That's right. That's right.
But as they kept growing and they kept growing, I decided, well, you know, I've had cancer and it was healed by prayer. I mean, for those who have heard the story know that mm-hmm. Pastor Little came in and prayed over me. So mm-hmm. I'm like, well, God, would you just heal this, you know, like for me and take care of these two spots because I'm not wanting to deal with this. Mm. You know, I really know you can and I would really like you to. And just left at that, forgot all about it. Well, like last Tuesday, I look in the mirror, and I mean, now, mole, have you ever had a mole just totally it's gone. I mean, it's not like it went lighter or smaller or started to go. I mean, it's like gone. And remember, I shaved this thing, and it was cut and all this. It had a big old, you know, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I started to feel the one on my back. Guess what? It's gone.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, Lord, you answered. But yeah. What's amazing to me, I just find it humorous, is I don't believe it. You know, here I am, a man of, you know, of prayer, and but it's amazing how little faith I actually have. I feel like a 2-year-old, you know, in the Lord, like I'm bumping into walls and doing all this stuff. And, you know, he comes through in ways that just blow my mind. And I do know I prayed, and I know I was the only one who prayed because I didn't share it with anybody else what was going on.
Sure.
If I told my wife that I was waiting to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
It would have not gone good for me. But as it was, God just met the need, and I got to give him the glory for it because he did it, and it's clearly gone.
Well, it says in Scripture, it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and that is really, really good. I've got another story. I had a friend of mine named Nestor, and I had actually met him through the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce maybe close to a year ago, whatever, and something told me to befriend this guy and all of this, and so what I did was I started talking to him, and I became friends with him, and I built a relationship with him. And then I actually started to invite him to our Tuesday night Bible studies and over in Burlington. And I remember when I first started doing it, and he came over to the meeting. And one night somebody had given him a Bible, and he was getting out of my car. And he said, I think there's something I'm missing. He says, no, this is it. I've got this. He says, he takes the Bible. He throws it in the back seat. And he goes, no, this is junk. And I go, oh, God, this is going really well. But it's interesting. At the same time, there was another guy from our Bible study who said, hey, Mike, guess what happened the other night? He said, I just went up to this guy in this Starbucks or whatever, and I told him, I said, do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? And the guy said, yes. And I'm like, well, here I am doing all this stuff with this Nestor guy. He's throwing the Bible in my back seat, and I'm looking like an idiot doing all this other stuff. Well, but what I did was I kept going. I kept talking to him. I kept praying for him. I kept working on him. I had other people talking to him, other people praying for him, other people in the Bible study praying for him. And then eventually we finally brought him over to our house one day, and a friend of mine named Scott had actually said to him, he said, Nestor, he said, so what do you think of this Bible study? And Nestor kind of got, well, you know, it's this or that, whatever. And we started talking to him, and Nestor said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And so the last time I took Nestor to the Duke Wake Forest basketball game that Robbie gave me the tickets to.
Oh.
And so, Robbie, there was a purpose in that.
Oh, that is.
And on the way back from the game where I take Nestor from, we started talking, and he said, and we were actually reading the Bible together, and Nestor was reading the Bible. And one of the things that Nestor was saying to me was, he said, Mike, he said, right now, he said, you've been talking to me about Jesus. You've been reading the Bible or whatever. And he says, you've been taking me to these Bible studies. He said, I would go to the Bible studies now, whether you took me or not. And he said, I'm going to start reading the Bible on my own. And so, you know, sometimes people say stuff. I mean, people say stuff all the time, and you go, well, is this really true or whatever? And I wanted to believe him. But what ended up happening was it was this past Tuesday, and I said, hey, Nestor, I was just reminding you, I wanted to see if you were going to the Bible study tonight. And he actually texted me, and he said, Mike, he said, I was going to go anyways. And so he ended up driving himself, and he went to the Bible study. And but it was interesting. He actually did our closing prayer, but one of the other guys, another Scott from the Bible study, had actually said to him, he said, Nestor, he said, I want you to realize that we've seen a lot of changes in you. He says, you've given your life to Christ. He says, you've come to the Bible studies. You're interested in learning about the Bible. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, give you credit for just keep coming. But I want to give credit to God, because we prayed. There was a time when Nestor wanted nothing to do with at all with Jesus. And if not for God,
yeah,
he never would have come to Jesus. But it wasn't us. It wasn't really anything that we did. I mean, we tried, but I mean, it was just we
prayed.
Did he
ever get the Bible out of the back seat?
He got the Bible. And he reads the Bible now. So that the but that was a miracle. I mean, a different kind of miracle, but that was absolutely a miracle. And you talked about a miracle with your health. Robbie, I remember when I was in Hawaii, and it was like, at this point, I didn't know what else to do but to cry out to God. And I had had an allergic reaction, and I was literally on the way out. I was about to start not being able to breathe. They brought the oxygen down. The hospital, closest hospital, was 45 minutes away.
Well, so you were having an allergic, you were at a restaurant, and you, where were you?
I was in Hawaii. Yeah, I'd gone on a trip with my mother, and I went on a trip to Hawaii, and I had eaten some nuts or some fish or something that was bad.
Where were you at the time that all this started?
It was at the hotel. We were at the pool and stuff like that. So what had happened was that they brought the security down. They laid me down on the couch downstairs, and they brought an oxygen tank. And when they did that, right before I laid down, you know, we always think about being sophisticated or saying these wonderful prayers. But right before I laid down, three times I said, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And the third time after I said that and they laid me down, I noticed that I started sweating, and I came to, and I was okay. And the lady from the ambulance, the paramedic, came, and she just looked at me, and she was kind of just, she dumbstruck. She said, what the heck is going on? She said, somebody who has an allergic reaction doesn't just get better on their own. And I told her, I said, well, I prayed. And when that happened, she said, well, she says, I can let you go, or you can go to the hospital. And I was about to go, but my mother was there. She was, because I brought my mom on the trip, and she was a nervous wreck. And I said, well, go ahead and take me to the hospital. But I know that when I prayed, when I cried out to Jesus, that I was healed and I was fine. And it wasn't anything that I did, but it was all Jesus. And so that's, I think, one of the reasons why we're having this show, is because we can't do everything. We can't do hardly anything in our own strength, but God can do so much. And all we have to do is cry out to him and ask him. And you said there was something else as well that you had thought about, Robbie, when you went.
Well,
I
certainly, as I listen to that, I can't help but think about, you know, my own ye of little faith.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, prayer is about faith. And I know without faith that you can't please God. But by the same token, you know, it clearly is an attempt at reaching out and talking to God. And even when you don't necessarily believe or feel or whatever, it's interesting to me how he will shore up that if I'm sincerely going, I don't know what I'm doing here, but would you please?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's interesting, as I hear both stories of both Nestor and the situation with the allergic reaction, it's, I really don't see it working out here.
right.
But I'm going in anyway. And it's interesting. It's like we talked about in the show a few weeks ago, that, you know, God is close to the contrite and the brokenhearted. And he sees that, wow, Mike needs some shoring up here.
That's right. Do you remember it's Mark, I think it's 23 through 25. It says, Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Right? That's the deal. Yeah, that's exactly kind of where that is. In so many situations like that where it seems like, whoa, really looking at my own heart, know that that's not like this a hotbed of faith right there. Mm-hmm. But yet, we can cry out, help my unbelief. And I think that's a beautiful example of what I've seen so many times with so many people.
Yeah, in Matthew 17:20, it says, and the Lord said that if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Well, notice he didn't say if you have the faith of a mountain. Yeah. Just the faith of a mustard seed. Just have a little bit of faith. Put your faith in him, and you'll see what he does.
Yeah. So. It's a if not for God kind of thing. And, you know, along those lines, I think about your crying out to God. Mm-hmm. And I had the same thing when I was hit by the Jeep. Like, I cried out. I can remember crying out. Mm-hmm. But almost feel like he's the one that prompted me to say it.
right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, I'm all this spiritual, and right this minute I'm gonna cry out to Jesus. It's almost like, oh my goodness, when you're in that moment.
That's right.
He puts the words in our mouth somehow. I just really feel that, and I can sense that from you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If Not For God.
Thank you for listening to If Not For God with Mike Zwick. For more shows, subscribe on iTunes to If Not For God. For more information on Mike or to contact him, go to ifnotforgod.life.